Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
The Lord told me to share the message of the cross for this time of Easter or the Resurrection Sunday. I have a chance to share a little bit already, a couple weeks ago, what Jesus did for us. In fact, the message that I'm going to share with you today really changed my life. I have more victory than ever before after I understand the truth in the Bible. And again, what I share today is given to us by grace. We don't deserve to get anything good. God gives us the good things through grace, and we receive by faith. If you listen to the sermon from last time, you hear that God wants to give us something good that is due to Jesus because he was so obedient to the Father. And at the same time, all the human beings have problem we call iniquities or sin or rebellion. I remember when I was young, I was really rebellious. I rebelled against God. I put my fist up to God and I cursed God. Pastor Da went to church. She was from Catholic church and she went to church on Sunday. I would sit in the car waiting for her and I cursed God. I was against God until one day God graciously showed himself to me and I got saved. I became a Christian. And after that, I began to experience what I'm going to share to you today. And I realized now that the root problem of all human being is iniquity or sin. And the Bible says that whenever we sin or break the law of God, we get the negative consequences. And that's why you see problem all over the world. Sickness, poverty, curses, accident, broken home, problems and problem all over the world. But God is a solution. Jesus is the one all-sufficient solution for all the needs of human being. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Everyone say, all of my needs. We all have different needs and God will meet all of our needs through Christ Jesus. Everything that we need come through the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time I shared that Jesus was punished on the cross so that we will be forgiven. And we learn from the scripture that by his wounds we were healed. How many of you have been healed by God by his power? Amen. God healed my family so many times. God healed Pastor Da when she had bleeding for many months to the point that the doctor in North Seattle said that you need a hysterectomy or cutting the womb off. But one day in 1997, I never forget that day. In around October of 1997, we went to a church and the power of God surged through her. By the wound of Jesus, the power of resurrection surged through her. The bleeding stopped and she became pregnant. I cannot be pregnant. She became pregnant, but I'm a part of it. She became pregnant and she had a girl. So because of the joy of this healing power of God in her life and we can have another baby. And in fact, we thought we're going to have only one, but God healed her. So we gave this daughter name Joy. Joy LaHopperset. Where's Joy? Could you stand up, please? With Joy. Amen. God healed her. God healed my asthma and my allergy. God heals so many people in the whole world. Amen. I just got the email from Thailand that one lady has a breast cancer and she was ready to have an operation on Tuesday. She came to the meeting. She gave her life back to God. She went back to the hospital. It's a big lump. And the doctor said, let's get another x-ray. And the lump was gone and she was healed from breast cancer. Amen. Let's give hand to God. Amen. By his wounds, we were healed. He was punished so that we would be forgiven. Not only that, we learned that God, Jesus Christ on the cross, received all the sinfulness of humanity. so that in exchange we become the righteousness of God. God gives us His righteousness, not because of our own righteousness, but His righteousness. Amen. So that's why we call all the Christian saints. Saints mean the sanctified people. The people whose sin have been forgiven and now have the forgiveness of God and righteousness of God. This is an unreasonable exchange. God exchanged something at the cross for us. The evil consequences due to our rebellion was given to Him, and then we receive in exchange the good, the wonderful thing, the blessing of God due to Jesus' obedience to us. We give back and forth like this. How many people would like if I give you $1 bill? No. If you give me $1 bill and I give you $1 million check, would you do that? If you don't want it, I think you need a brain transplant. So that's what happened. You give him $1 bill and he gives you $1 million bill. Amen. Exchange. Everyone say unreasonable exchange. At the cross, he got all the bad things that due to us that we deserve. And then what happened? He gave us the best. Look at another part in the Bible. In Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. Mine in God. The soul who sins shall die. The Bible says that the consequences of sin is death. And we talk about two kind of death here. Death means cannot have a eternal relationship with God in heaven. We cannot go to heaven because of our sin. But not only that, a lot of people was walking on earth, you know, as a medical doctor. When we talk about life, it means the lungs still expanding, the oxygen come in, the heart still beating, send oxygen to the brain. And we call a person dead when a person stop breathing and the heart stop beating and the EEG. The wave on the brain stop. Then you put the electrode on the skull and the wave just flat. EEG is flat. We call brain death. So in the physical level, as a doctor, you call a person dead when the heart is stopped working. But we are not talking about physical death here. We're talking about spiritual death. We're talking about death on the inside. A lot of people walking on earth here, they look like walking around and they're still breathing, the heart is beating, but they have no life. Have you ever seen people who have no life? Sickness again and again and again. I've seen so many patients that have back surgery again and again and again. Car accident again and again. Losing their home, losing their family, losing their husband and losing their wife. There's no life there. Things just go wrong. They cannot smile. They cannot sleep. Pain all over the body. Like people with some sickness and disease have pain all over the body. There is no life there. And God say, because of sin of the world, that people face this kind of death. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 15 in the New Testament said, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. But thank God, God wants to give us the exchange again. On the cross, Jesus died our death. And then He offered us abundant life. He gives the life of God into us. Amen. Amen. Since I am Pastor Da became a Christian, we experienced the life of God. Our relationship got better all the time. Amen. We did not quarrel anymore. We have life in our home. We can smile. We are happy. We have a very happy family. Our financial life come back. We are not in debt. We are doing well financially. Everything. Health, God healed us all the time. We rarely get sick. Why? Because I already gave death to Jesus. My death has been given to Jesus, and Jesus gave me life. And I believe that a lot of Christians in the world who have experience of this exchange on the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. On the cross, Jesus taste death for everyone. He received our death. He died our death. And then what happened? Romans chapter 6 verse 23. This is not my own idea. It's in the Bible. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I have come to give them life and give it more abundantly. So as a Christian, we can expect abundant life. And it come by faith. Amen? Why don't we do like this? Grab the dead part of your life. Grab it. Throw it to Jesus. Go. And then receive life of God. Amen. Amen. It come by faith that we believe that Jesus died our death so that we can have life. My heart desire is to see everyone in the church and everyone that I love, my loved one, my friends, to experience the abundant life that Jesus offered to you. And it's so easy. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to be like a perfect man, knowing all the Bible, know every scripture, go to Bible school in order to get this thing. You just come to God like a child and say, God, I am a sinner and I need your help. Could you please take the death of my sin away? And then I receive the life of Jesus, the life of God into my life. Jesus was raised from the dead and he's still alive today. And therefore we are not worshiping a dead God that cannot give us life. He is still alive and can give us life. Amen. It's so wonderful to become a Christian. Amen. Not only that, after we leave this world, everyone have to die physically one day. We're going to get old and die one day. But thank God, we don't need to be apart from God forever. But we can live forever in heaven, in the paradise, in the throne room of God. We're going to be with God for eternity. No more tears, no more sickness, no more neurosurgeon, no more nurses, no more hospital, no more chiropractor, no more suffering. No more pain, no more Tylenol and Zoloft and amitriptyline, no more surgery and microscope. Amen. No more clinic. Because in heaven, we're going to live a healthy life all the days of our life. You're going to look young all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. I cannot wait to that day. Amen. That one day we're going to fellowship together in heaven. That is eternal life that Jesus provides for us. Another thing that God wants to give to us is look at the Bible here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Another exchange that happened at the cross, Jesus became poor with our poverty, that we might become rich with his glorious riches. Thank God. Let's give hand to God. Amen. We don't need to be poor forever. Amen. We can have more than enough. Now the question is, when did Jesus become poor? A lot of people picture that Jesus walking around on earth without money, poor, no food to eat, have to beg people for money because he was just a carpenter and left the carpentry job. And then have no money. That is a big misunderstanding. Jesus, when he was serving the Father on earth for 3 years, he never lacked anything. Amen. He even have enough money to give to the poor. He sent the disciple out without money back. And when they came back, this is what they say. In Luke chapter 22 verse 35, and he said to them, when I send you without money back, knapsack and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Even his disciples say, we lack nothing. We have more than enough. So when Jesus and his disciples were walking on earth, he did not lack anything. He had more than enough, even to give to the poor. You remember one time, Judas Iscariot said that, oh, we should sell that perfume and give to the poor. In fact, they practiced giving to the poor a lot. At the time of Jesus, Jesus gave to the poor. Jesus was not lacking. And even the way he obtained money to pay taxes is very unconditional. Whether the money come from the bank or the coin come from the mouth of the fish, it's still the same value. And that's how Jesus get money. He got money from the mouth of the fish. It's very unconventional. Be careful. You may go home and look at your golden fish and you pick it up and pull out the coin or pull out something. You know, God can give you unconventionally. I heard the testimony of a sister in the church. I believe she is sitting here somewhere. She said that she has debt. I don't know, maybe $10,000 or $20,000. She had this debt for a long time, tried to pay off. One day, we asked people who had debt to stand up. We pray in Jesus' name that the debt will be resolved. And this lady went back home and waiting for the pay stub to come in, but they never show up for 1 month, 2 months. So she called the bank and said, what's going on with my payment? And the bank looked in the computer and could not find the evidence. Her file had disappeared from the computer. So her debt was canceled supernaturally. Is that conventional or unconventional? It's unconventional. Amen. Hallelujah. So her debt was paid off by God. It's gone from the computer system. I don't know how God did it. But I like that way. Maybe my mortgage will be gone one day too. One day I never receive any paper and they say, oh, thank God. I don't need to pay my mortgage. Amen. Even the way he fed 5,000 men with women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's very unconventional. Can you imagine? Can a man who can feed 5,000 men with children and women with 5 loaves and 2 fish call poor? He was not poor. He had more than enough to do many things. He continually gave out to people. Now the question is, when did Jesus become poor so that we can become rich? When that happened, the exchange that he got our poverty and then he offered us his riches. Look at what the Bible, the definition, let's look at the definition of poverty first. The absolute poverty. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 48. This is the definition of poverty. Actually, Deuteronomy chapter 28 talk about blessings for 14 verses and talk about curses. Poverty is a curse of sin. People who are poor mean they have the curses of sin in their life. And Jesus came to break that curse of poverty. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. So the Bible says, to be poor means to be naked, no clothes, hunger, no food to eat, in thirst, no water to drink, and in need of everything. When did this happen to Jesus? When he went to the cross. He did not eat for 24 hours. He did not have any water to drink. Even on the cross, he said, I am thirsty. And the soldier tried to give him vinegar to drink, to torture him. Jesus' clothes was pulled out by the soldier, Roman soldier. He was naked on the cross. Not only that, after he died, he needed to use the borrowed robe from somebody to wrap his body. He did not have anything at all at that time. He was absolutely poor on the cross. Not only that, he needed to borrow a tomb from a rich man to put his body in. He became poor so that we might be rich. Give the poverty to him and receive his glorious riches. Do you know that our God owns the cattle on the 1,000 hills. God owns everything. He's the richest person in the whole world. When you talk about billionaires on earth, God is richer than them. Amen? He is the richest person. And this is what he promises through the cross, through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Everyone say grace. You see, this is the grace of God. Not because you are Superman, you are highly educated, or because you are handsome. It's the grace of God that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. You may not carry a lot of cash. You may not have a big bank account. But God say you're going to have sufficiency. You're going to have more than enough for yourself. You're going to have for every need in your life. Pay every bill that you have, even for your children's education. Pay for your gas. For Christians, we don't worry about gas price. Because God promised us that we're going to have sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. We're going to have money to put gas in the tank to come to church. Amen. We will not lack. We will have more than enough. God promises that we will have more than enough for ourselves, for our own needs, and not only that, for helping other people. Overflow to help other people. The Bible says that the greater blessing is giving. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus himself say, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So God wants to bless us. How? Bless us so much to overflow that we will be able to share with other people. Give to the poor, give to the needy, and share with other people. Invite people to come and eat dinner with you. Invite them to go to places with you. Amen. How many people like that? Everyone say, it's for me. Okay, let's grab the poverty. Throw to Jesus. I give you to the cross and I grab riches of God. Amen. I believe with all my heart that Christians who love God, walk by faith, will never lack anything in their life. They will have enough. You may feel that sometimes you kind of short, but God gonna provide you at the right time. The money gonna come in. Amen. And His way sometimes is very unconventional. Amen. It comes in a very different way. So we need to trust God that we will not lack anything. Food going to be on the table. We will have enough money to pay our bills. And we have more than enough to give to the poor and give to the needy. Amen. Amen. How many people want to hear more what Jesus did for us? How about I share one more thing? Not only that, He died our death so that we can have the life of God. We live on earth abundantly. Not only that, He received our poverty so that we can receive the riches of God. But there are, God also provide for us, also meet our emotional need. Sometimes people may be rich. You know, some rich people out there, they have billions of dollars in the bank account. They have big houses. They have everything that they need financially and physically. But they have emotional problem, emotional need. I just want to give you a couple example of emotional needs that people can receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the power of the cross. One we call shame, and another one called rejection. Everyone say shame. And rejection. Shame can be in a different level. It can be in the level of we call acute embarrassment. Now you were standing there and you do something wrong and you feel so embarrassed in front of people. Amen. When I first came to the US, I faced that all the time because my English was quite broken. And many times when I spoke to my patient, they look at me like, what are you talking about? I feel so embarrassed. And my friend need to call, pull me out and say, no, they say this way. I told you this story one time. I can tell again. I just came to the US only 2 months. And I went to emergency room at Harborview Hospital. A patient was sitting on a stretcher. And I just walk in, there's a neurosurgery resident, and say, okay, I test the muscle function. I test all the neurological function. And I want to tell the patient, close your eyes to test the facial nerve. So I say, cross your eyes. And my friend, like this to me, and pull me out and say, no, it's not cross your eyes. It close your eyes. Ooh. Neurosurgeons say, cross your eyes. I was very embarrassed. So now I got much better now. Okay, English-wise, language-wise, I got much better. I learned from many people how to speak English. Amen. So, but shame can be just a sense of unworthiness, that you feel unworthy. You feel like you are not good enough for anybody. You're not good enough for the office. You're not good enough in your family. And shame can come from many reasons, like sexual abuse, children that grow up with child molestation or sexual abuse. When they grow up, they feel shame. They don't want to see anybody. They don't want to, they feel that they are unworthy. They feel dirty all the time. And Jesus received that shame on the cross, and he wants to offer us the glory of God, the honor of God. We don't need to walk around like this anymore. Amen. We don't need to be in shame anymore. Because he received that shame on the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know that dying on the cross is the most shameful death on earth? Nowadays, people got killed by the government, either by injecting some chemical on the table and death, die. No one see it. Or maybe electric chair, just only him sitting there die. But for Jesus, he was in the public. He was naked. And he was hanging on the cross. People walk around, walk by, look at him and yell at him, ridicule him and look down on him, talk bad about him. How do you feel if you were hanging on the cross naked and people walk by? Was it shameful? It's the most shameful death on earth. The Bible says like this in Matthew chapter 27, 35 verse 44. Then they crucified him, divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their head and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elder, said, "He saved others himself, he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God, let him deliver him. Now, if he will save, he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him or talked bad about him with the same thing. What a shameful death that even the thief on the cross reviled him. Jesus on the cross received our shame. Let's grab the shame here. Give to Jesus and receive the glory of God. Amen. So as Christian, we can walk around smiling with the chest up and say, "I am a son of God." Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, "For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons," I want to add daughters as well, "to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Amen. I remember when I first came to the U.S. and I worked at Harborview Hospital. I was so foreign, spoke with thick accent. The first day I walked down into the OR, you know, in Thailand, when we perform surgery, we put our feet in the slipper. We took our shoes off and put our feet in the slipper. So we walk in the operating room with a slipper. So the first day I came to Harborview Hospital, I didn't know. I took my shoes off. I took my sock off and I looked for slipper. And I couldn't find slipper. What can I do? So I pulled the shoe cover, you know, the blue shoe cover you've seen in some real estate in the house. So I put that shoe cover on my feet without shoes on and I walk around. And all the nurses look at me. Who is this guy? Maybe he come from the moon or the something. He didn't even know what to do here. And 2 days later, I was standing in the ICU. A group of doctors walk in. I was standing behind the bed. And these three doctors walk in. Tall, handsome, general surgeon. I'm just a resident. They're much taller than me. They look like this. And they look at me like this. From the top of my head down to the bottom of my toes. Who is this guy standing here in Harborview Hospital with black hair, with small nose? At that time, the first thinking I have is this. Do you know that I am a third degree black belt in Taekwondo? I can jump across this table and kick you right now. Like this. And but suddenly, I heard the voice of God. Calm down, son, for that discrimination. Because you are a son of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. When I heard that, I smile, put my chest up, and smile at them and say, good morning. And after a couple months later, all of them became my friend. They loved me because I did not fight back. Amen. Without Jesus that give glory to me and put the shame out of me, I would not be able to do that. I would feel rejected. I would feel shame. I would feel like a second-class citizen. I would feel like I'm just nothing in America. But I knew that I am a son of God. And God give me glory. Amen? Amen. Not only shame, but rejection. Rejection is a big problem in the society nowadays. People face rejection because of divorce, especially children that grow up in a single mother or single parent's home. The dad walk out, and the children grow up with the field of rejection that my dad walk out of me, or my mom walk out of me, or divorce. It's a terrible rejection that your spouse just say no to you and walk out of you. Some pregnant woman who just get pregnant accidentally, like, I didn't expect this, but get pregnant and carrying the womb around, say, I don't want this baby. I don't want this baby. I don't want this baby. You know what happened? When this baby was born, the baby can sense the rejection from the mother and grew up with shame, with rejection, cannot get out into society, cannot talk to anybody, cannot fellowship or have relationship with anybody. Jesus received rejection on the cross. On the cross, the Bible say that the Father turned away his face from Jesus. Because Jesus received the sinfulness of the whole world. And he called, Father, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he did not hear the Father answer him. This is the first time in eternity, from the time that Jesus created the heaven and the earth, his relationship with the Father was cut off because the Father rejected him. And do you know that Jesus did not die because of physical death, because of the losing blood? Because normally people die on the cross after 3 days. Lack of food, lack of water, and the sun burned until the person died of dehydration. But Jesus died on the cross within 6 hours, not 3 days. Why? Because of the broken-hearted situation. Well, his heart was broken when the Father rejected him. He gave up his spirit and he died. Actually, if you study the history carefully, you find out that that was the Friday evening, about Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock. The Jewish leader say, we need to kill all these three guys before 6 p.m. because it's a Sabbath day. In order to kill them, they need to come with a big stick and hit the leg of all the three prisoners. Why? Because when you hit the leg, cannot stand anymore, cannot breathe in, and will choke with suffocation, lack of oxygen, and die. So when the soldier come to the robber, first one, second one, but come to Jesus, they find out Jesus already dead. They did not have to hit his leg. And they prove he's dead by putting the spear on his chest, and the water come out, not the blood, the serum. So it proved that he already dead for a while. Amen. You understand? When you draw blood out, put in the cup, the red blood cell drop, and you have serum. That's what happened in his heart. Only serum come out. So he was dead. He was dead because of brokenhearted. He was rejected. But thank God, he was rejected so that we can be accepted by God. He received our rejection, and we are accepted by the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 5 to 6, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praises of glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Jesus accepted us. Amen. Let's grab the rejection here. Let's grab the shame. Throw to Jesus. Receive the glory and the acceptance of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people face rejection before in your life? Amen. Sometimes you walk into some place, they look at you and they say, I don't want to talk to you. But you can still smile and know that God loves you and there's somebody who accepts you. Amen. Is it wonderful? Is this a good news? That Jesus got all the bad things on the cross that day and he offered to us the blessing and the good things. How many people want that in your life? You want the good things from God. You come to God by faith. Amen. And you're going to experience what I share today. Which is very simple. You need to, first of all, believe that we are all sinners. And sin causes problem in our life. And then we come to God and say, I repent of my sin. I turn away from my sin. I want to get right with you. Jesus come into my life, and I believe that what you offer me is for me. I'm going to start to make the exchange now. Give you the bad things and get the good thing from you. And I can guarantee from today on, you're going to begin to experience all these things day by day, little by little. Your life is going to start to change. And you will see that God is good and God is real. Amen. How many people want to have that? Like, God, I want you to come into my life and help me. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand up and pray together? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. You love me so much. You sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sin. And you offer me everything that I need. Today, I come to you by faith. Thank you, Lord, for the power of resurrection. Today, I offer to you. I give to you all the negative consequences of my sin and receive the good things from Jesus that he did on the cross for me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of the living God. You died for me. Come and live on the inside of me. Guide me and lead me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.